Barbara Myers went to Indonesia in 1962. They were a part of an organization called Anchor Bay Evangelistic Association. At that point, they were planning on going to Central America as missionaries to help with the Bible school there. But a minister from Indonesia came to the Anchor Bay Fellowship meeting and put a request in for a missionary to be sent from the fellowship to them to help them with the Bible school. And so they approached my parents, and my parents said, yes, we feel, but we'll go for 2 years, just 2 years. And 2 years has been a long time. But, you know, Scripture says one day is 1,000 with God, and so apparently. But in 1962, my parents left Detroit, Michigan area, and brought my older brother and myself, two boys, and we relocated to Indonesia. And it's amazing how God orchestrates. My father always had the philosophy, you know, be like a leaf in a stream of the river of God and let God just direct you, take you where he wants. And so he did. He went there to start to help with establishing a Bible school. Circumstances changed, and he found himself working for the U.S. government as an embassy individual, or working for the U.S. Embassy, because at the time the ambassador had an automatic transmission vehicle and no one in the country could work on it, could fix it. God had brought my father at the right time to be there and was scheduled to work with the car of the first president of Indonesia, President Sukarno. But then the attempted coup occurred, and so thus that was derailed. But so my father has a track record of many firsts in the country of Indonesia. I'm speaking a lot of my father because my father is the founder of the ministry that I am now continuing. So let me give you a list of some of the firsts, which becomes the bedrock and the foundation for what we're doing now. My father was the first mechanic in the country to fit work on automatic transmissions, as I shared. My father also was the first to print Sunday school material in Indonesia. You say, well, where is Indonesia? Just go to the other side of the globe. Southern hemisphere, we're on the equator. 12 hours difference, you know, if you remove the daylight saving issues. Opposite side of the world. We're in the tropics. And in that country of now 270 million, there at that time was no printed material for the children of Indonesia. My father saw the need and responded. My father also saw the need to put the Bible on audio cassette, the first in the country, which then led to my father seeing the need and the opportunity to provide the visual as well as the audio through TV, the Gospel of Christ. And so thus the first Christian broadcast in the country that was church-led. My father and mother went to Indonesia based on a scripture that said, and they went and spread his fame abroad in Matthew. And that's what my dad and mom did. Today, the Indonesian islands consist of over 17,000 plus islands, over 74,000 villages. So that'd be 74,000 Wellsvilles, plus a population of 270 million and beyond. 85% of them are Muslims. 57% are under the age of 25 years. So a very young populated country. Which means technology is very much in the forefront. So the ministry, which we call here in the States Televillage or Indonesia for Christ, known in the country of Indonesia as Jangkar Harapan Indonesia, Anchor of Hope. We provide hope through the Gospel of Christ being broadcast for any and all. Let me show you just a brief caps of the video. ministry. Take a note, look. As he redoes that, you're going to, the voice you're hearing right now is the voice of my daughter-in-law, Ruth, and she's Indonesian, and you'll see my youngest son. I have two boys, my oldest son, firstborn, Andrew. You guys call him Andy, I call him Andrew. This will give you a glimpse of our ministry and of our country. And my father used to always say, if you got a spare weekend, come on over. Okay, just a spare weekend. Don't no longer than that. Okay, we're ready to go. Let's watch.
You will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Acts 1:8. The instructions are simple, the reality is anything but. Imagine a world with limited technology, no signal for your cell phone, no social media. Electricity like the wind is gone and goes. For much of Indonesia, this doesn't need to be imagined, it's a reality. With 17,000 islands, the advancement of technology has been slow, especially in the rural areas. On top of that, most people that live in these remote villages will never leave their area. That's where Jangkar Harapan Indonesia comes in. There are 74,000 villages, and our goal is to bring the gospel to them all.
To reach this goal, we have three avenues. First, we create. We create Christian TV programs in our studio for kids, teens, adults, and pastors. Second, we provide. It's not enough just to create the content if the people that need it don't even have the opportunity. We provide the means for villages to be able to hear the gospel through our content. Lastly, we build. We work with local pastors and leaders to hold seminars and trainings for them to not only be a great leader, but to truly be the light of the world to their village and nation.
This is where we need your help. We want to share Christ's love in Indonesia, but we need your help to do it. Partner with us financially or through prayer. We are looking for individuals or churches to support $75 a month in order for us to broadcast 24/7. This will bring the gospel within reach of every man, woman, and child in Indonesia, even the most remote areas. Would you be one of those partners that brings the gospel to the end of the earth? Contact us and let's build the nation of Indonesia together for the kingdom of God.
We do two formats, one through satellite, where it's 24/7 broadcast of the programming. Currently, our satellite is not up and running due to the lack of funds. And so we're looking for people to be part of our partner base for the satellite. But the other part is through placement of units, which comprise of a TV and sound system, if need be, with USBs. And we provide them with the USB that they can then put onto their TV, plug it in, invite their neighbors. Muslims cannot by religion come to a church to hear the gospel of Christ. It's forbidden by their laws. But they can come to your home. And so we ask Christians to open their homes up, use their TVs. If they don't have a TV, we provide a TV. And we say, use it for the invitation. And the Muslims will come. They'll come even though they know it's Christian programming. They come because they want to hear. And so we are required by God, mandated by God, to make the opportunity available. That's our task, to put it there, and then let the light shine. because the light is more than able to shine. And so we thank you that God, we're grateful to God, but I'm also thankful for this opportunity to share with you. If you have any other further questions, you can always feel free to contact me. Thank you. God bless.
So our brother, you're here, and you talked about partnering with you, and part of the way we like to do that is to pray. So yes. Before you sit down, we want to lift our brother up in prayer. I'd like to ask Andy, come on up, man. This is your dad. And Brother Tom Brazell, our elder, has been a missionary for years and years. And Judy, you want to come too? Sorry, there's no place to hide. You guys have been missionaries, and we want to have a chance to lay hands on our brother. And Andy, you can stand in proxy for your brother Aaron, right?
Yes.
Is it Aaron? All right. And Tom, if you would lead us.
Sure.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we are thankful. Established in Indonesia, Lord, to his family. We thank you, Lord, and I think it's probably true through many dangers, toils, and snares they've already come. But Lord, you have established your work, and we're thankful. Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that every obstacle that would stand against the full dissemination of the programming and the material, Lord, would be taken out of the way. Lord, that full provision would be given. And Lord, that the people of Indonesia would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly and in their own language. We thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for bringing Phil here this morning. It's no accident that he's here. He's here as a divine appointment. We thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless him, bless the family as they work together, Lord, in this ministry. Keep them healthy. Keep them safe and continue to speak your words in their heart, Lord, that they would know the next step and the next step and the next step. And for all of us, Lord, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name.
And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would open the door to the Lord. Open the door that has been closed, Father, in the past. Lord, I pray that satellite would be up and running. Father, that it would be able to reach places that people have trouble getting to. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the legacy of this ministry through the grandfather, the father, and then the son. And Lord, we pray for a multiplication of ministry, Father, that, Lord, reports would come from every part of Indonesia that people get. Lives being transformed, people being delivered from demonic bondage, and their bodies being healed, and their lives being transformed and changed. Oh God, I pray that you use this ministry to turn the Indonesia upside down for the gospel. Oh Jesus, do it, Father. Thank you. Let us fall in mighty power in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus' name.
Hudson River, we usually hear that it's a big wild river that is flowing. But I just see a little trickle coming out of the mountains, coming down.
Yes. If you'd like to partner with these folks, I know it's short notice, but we in a little bit we'll take our offering, and if you'd like to help support their ministry, we invite you to partner with them. We would love to send them with a blessing. Sister Denise, if you'd like to come. Thank you, Lord. Earlier, sorry, I forgot to tell you.
Good morning. Our announcements today are pretty routine. Men's Bible study is tomorrow night, at 6 and continue to have great reports on what's going on there. Wednesday is prayer meeting, and it's a pretty important part of who we are. And we're trusting the Lord to continue to move there. And then that, I believe, are the announcements. And everybody get the bulletin. There's a really neat picture of the Bowdens and that thanking for our support of them. So if I could have two volunteers for the offering. Thank you, Carl, and thank you, Ray. Over there.
Oh, God. You are such a mighty and a powerful God. And I thank you for the glimpses that you give us of your just amazing character and who you are. Thank you for the opportunity to hear about some of the needs in Indonesia and for our opportunity to participate in that. And Lord, I just reminded that your love for the folks in Indonesia is no less than your love for us. Your desire for them to know you is no less than your desire for us to know you. And I ask that you would open our hearts to a willingness to participate in that as well. I pray that you would bless this offering and bless us as we open our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and say, you are worthy of it all. Of it all, for from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Oh, we give you glory, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm not sure whose water this is, but I think you're going to miss it. Oh, it's Denise's. I turned it on. I'm sorry. Yeah, I turned it on because I wanted to catch that. And I stole the opportunity from you. Amen. Okay, is this still on? I feel like I am super loud. Yeah, okay, well, I'm wearing a few hats today. One of them is the sound man. Try to fix this. Okay, can you still hear me? I got a nod from Philip, so I think we're good. All right, well, last week we talked quite a bit about the body of Christ and how the body of Christ is many members but one purpose, but how essential every member is. Every member. This week I want to build on that a little bit, and this is from Ephesians 4:15. One thing that I notice at school is that I constantly have students coming to school wearing clothes that don't fit. They show up, you know just what I'm talking about, right? They come and the sleeves are about 3 inches too long. And they're flapping their sleeves or think it just doesn't fit. You know, when you get saved, God gives you a garment and a gifting. But you know what? When you get it, it might not fit completely. You know why? Because you've got to grow into it. The whole idea is that we grow into the gifting and calling that God has for us. I look at these kids and I say, you know, that's going to fit you really well in about 5 years. Don't get rid of that. You know, as they're flapping their, you know, we're trying to clap a beat and they're flapping their arms, rolling up sleeves. But the goal in our Christian walk is that we're going to grow. And what saddens me in my walk is sometimes when I look at myself and I think, okay, I've been saved for 35, 40 years, and I still have these areas that I need to grow in. Yesterday, I got super frustrated over something. I'm not even going to tell you what it was, but it made me so mad. And, well, I'll tell you what it was. I bought this little ultralight camper. We want to go see our family out in Utah. It's this teeny tiny little camper. And I drove it home from Johnson City. Well, I knew that I was going to have to back that thing into my driveway at home from the street. Now, my history of backing things up is not good at all. And so what did I do? I drove up to the church parking lot. So I'm up here and I'm trying to back this thing up. And I'm fishtailing it this way and fishtailing it that way. I'm like, after about an hour of that, I was fit to be tied. And my wife called me and said, hey, where are you? I said, I'm up here at the church trying to do this stupid trailer. And I heard myself say that and I thought, okay, listen to your sermon. Put on the big boy pants. Take a big boy pill and get over it. Well, I ended up driving it home, taking the thing off, and we pushed it into a spot. Like, we got it in there. But, you know, there are times where, and what God wanted to deal with me on was not how to learn to back the thing up. I need to learn to do that. But it's the attitude, the frustration. Dave, grow up. Grow up. It's time to grow up. Oh. Hopefully this is going to work. Ephesians 4, 13 through 16. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God as we mature to the full measure of the stature of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed about by the waves and carried about by every wind of teaching and by the clever cunning of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ himself, who is the head. From him, the whole body, fitted and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love through the work of each individual part. Verse 14 says, don't be infants anymore. I'm saying, God, help me not to be a big baby. Verse 15 says that we're to grow up in Christ, and part of being in the body of Christ is growing. Growing. We need to grow. And if you stop growing, well, I've watched people who stop growing, and instead, you don't, in your walk with Christ, we never just sort of tread water. You're either growing or you're sinking, and that's what I see happen with people. I don't see people who just sort of tread water. They usually go one way or the other. We're either growing or we're headed the other way. It's really important that we be committed to growing in Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I talked as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I set aside childish things. Now, Jesus did tell us to be childlike, but there's a difference between being childlike in your faith and being childish. And God wants to take us from the childish into the maturity that he wants us to have. As usual, I have about a million scriptures to run you through, but that's we'll move pretty quickly through them. 1 Peter 2:1-3, rid yourselves therefore of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up to your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. If you get a little context on this scripture, you'll realize that Peter is writing to believers who were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and they're fending and defending their Christian faith, and they've been scattered all around. If we took the time to go back to 1 Peter 1, I don't want to take the time to go all the way back there. You can look at it yourself. Peter talks about these people that he's addressing, their inheritance and their salvation in verses 3 and 4. 6 and 7, it says that they've suffered for their faith. They've not only been preaching the gospel, but they've also had to take a stand and suffer for it. Verse 17, they're called to holiness, a sanctified life. Verse 22, as he says, they've purified their souls through obedience and to the truth. And then in the very next chapter, he says, drink some milk like infants. I would have thought, I'd like to pastor one of those churches. These people sound like they've got it together. And he's saying, hey, time to grow up. Time to grow more. Time to get stronger. There's more work to do. There's more things to do. And he wants them to grow. So Hebrews, if we pop over to Hebrews 5:12-14, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to reteach you the basic principles of God's word. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is still an infant, inexperienced in the message of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained their senses to distinguish good from evil. God wants us to grow, so that we are not infants who are takers, but that we can be people who bring life, who bring, not just are taught, but are able to teach, that are able to impart life, that are able to pray. They have their PhD. They can pray heaven down on people. that are able to walk and go forward into maturity. I think I jumped Hebrews, the very next chapter. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. I feel like if people have a pretty good solid grasp of that, I'm thinking, wow, they do pretty good. And he's calling that the elementary teachings. Time to move on. Time to grow up. Oh, glory to God. God really wants us to grow. I had something here and somehow I'm not... Okay, there it is. All right. So today I want to give you 5 points that the Lord impressed on me of growth. 5 points, 5 areas of growth. There are tons more. There are tons more ways to grow. But these are the 5 that the Lord just kind of highlighted to me as I was preparing this. Number one, 5 points of growth. Number one, a mature person can feed themselves. Now that sounds pretty obvious, but I told you last week about my little grandson Weston. We went to the ice cream shop and they plopped the cup of ice cream in front of Weston. And of course he kind of looks at it, and then pretty soon he stuffed his hand in there and he's trying to put it in his mouth. And when he was all done, he wore more of it than he ate. And his mom is saying, use your spoon, Weston, use your spoon. And he'd look at her and scowl. and stick his hand in. And I looked at him, I said, Weston, where is your spoon? Where is it? And he'd hold it up. I said, good boy. And then he'd eat with his spoon for a minute. Then that's done, and he's back to the hands. And he's learning to feed himself. Before that, they had to feed him. Now he's starting to, and not terribly successfully. My little granddaughter, she's 3 now, and she's trying to be very neat, eating her ice cream very daintily. But little Weston, he was learning to eat, and that is a goal that God has for you. Oh, wait, where's the scripture? Go back. Oh, there it is. Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found, and I ate them. Your words became my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of hosts. Or that is one of the names of God that we looked at, Yahweh Sabaoth. If you want to look back in the archives, the teaching that we did on the names of God. O Lord God of hosts, the Lord God of armies, is calling us to eat the word. And this is a precious part of your relationship with Christ, sitting just you and him and feeding on the word, you and your Bible. So you can hear from God, not just what somebody else has heard from God and is teaching you. Now, I don't have a problem with teaching. You're all here listening to me this morning. I don't have a problem with teaching, but if all you ever do is hear teaching, then all you're getting is what somebody else said that they heard from God that they're giving to you. You know, when the mother bird is in the nest, what does she do? She goes out and she gets the worms, and mama bird eats the worms, and then she shows up at the nest and the baby birds go, and she comes and plops the, you know, and that's all fine, but God wants you to learn to eat. He wants to learn for you to hear his voice, to get into the word for yourself. It doesn't mean that you can't hear teaching too, but you can hear from God. God wants to teach you to eat. He wants you to hear from him. John 14:26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have told you. I want to encourage you in something. When you sit down, and I hope to God that you do this every day, get the Word of God out. Don't just open a devotional. Get your Bible out. Devotionals are wonderful. They're great. Sometimes you get a scripture and then you get a little thought for the day. Get your Bible out. Open it up. Read it and say, God, I'm expecting you to speak to me today. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, you said he would bring all things to my memory. Open up the Word and expect to hear from God. Do you come when you open it up with an expectation that he's going to speak to you? Now, he might not write something in the sky that day. Sometimes I read it, and I know that God ministers that word to me, but I showed up. I was faithful. I didn't hear anything, great revelation from God. And then other days, it's like the words jump off the page, and God speaks something to me. It doesn't happen all the time. But if you don't get there, you don't get that chance. God wants to teach you to eat. Get into this word. People's last days, when their life is about over, I've never had anybody tell me, Pastor Dave, I'm sorry I read the Bible so much. I wish I hadn't spent so much time in the Word. I've never heard anybody say that, ever. When you get the Word of God in you, when you read it, when you eat it, our brother Philip was telling me his dad was devoted to the reading of the Word of God. He gave me 2 books. All they are is just scriptures. Red letter of the it was amazing. We need to be absolute students of the Bible, feeding yourself. Don't fast from the Word of God. I'm telling you, sit down, but don't just open it. Expect, pray over that word and say, God, speak to me today. Open my heart. And don't be satisfied just to eat secondhand food. Don't just turn on the radio. Don't just turn on your computer and listen to somebody else teach. I'm not telling you you can't listen to other people teach. Teaching is not bad. It's one of the giftings. But you need to also, I need to also eat the word. Glory to God. Get into it every day. A mature person can feed himself. Number two, there we go. John 16. We'll read it. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me by taking what is mine and disclosing it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take from what is mine and disclose it to you. Do you know what that word disclose means? It's going to open it, reveal it, make it obvious. Lay claim to that and get into the Word and expect God to start speaking to you. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You guys probably get into the Word regularly. But I want to encourage you. Dig in. Dig in and fight. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. There are days I have to fight for my time in the Word. Because there's a million things to do, and things drop in, things happen. Some days I really have to fight for that time. Be faithful and show up. Be faithful and show up, and God's going to speak to you. Glory to God. All right, let's move on. A mature person reproduces. Yes, indeed. In the natural, we know that people, when they're children, as they grow, they get older, they begin to have an attraction, hopefully to the opposite sex, thank you very much. That's not a subject that we're going to get deep into today, but, you know, man, woman, done. Men marry women, and women marry men. That's it. Unfortunately, our world doesn't always walk in that, but that's the truth, and I will not be swayed from that. But God, as people get older, they reproduce, they create, they get married, they have children, they repopulate, and God wants us as Christians when we grow up to be those who reproduce. We spent a whole, I'm not going to go back on all the teaching that we did on preaching the gospel and witnessing and how to share your salvation testimony and how to share faith stories and all of that. If you want to review that, that would be a great thing to go over again and all the material we went to. But a mature Christian is going to be a person who is involved in reproduction. Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And notice it says disciples, it doesn't say believers. It doesn't just say make believers. I mean, yes, we want to make believers. We want people to get saved. We want people to hear the gospel and have their lives changed. But then we want to see them grow into disciples who can then also reach other people with the gospel that have grown up and then they're able to impart to other people. Glory to God. John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. There is such an intimate relationship needed with the Father for us to be reproducing Christians. If we abide in the vine, we're going to grow and we're going to have the life of Christ in us to give to other people. You spend time with God, God gets in you, God's going to come out of you. What's in you is going to come out of you. Sometimes I don't like what comes out of me. I wish I was a little more full of God. You know, you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. You squeeze an apple, you get apple juice. You squeeze a Christian, what do you get? Uh-oh. Sometimes it's good stuff and sometimes it isn't very good stuff. Some stuff came out of me yesterday. But the squeezing shows what's in there. And it's good for us. But if you're full of Christ, the life of Christ will come out of you to other people. Oh. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your heart sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you, but respond with gentleness and respect. When I was in college, I was bad. I was a bad witness for Christ. I preached the gospel to a lot of people, and there was no gentleness and respect. Oh, I clubbed people over the head with the gospel. It was terrible. Oh, but I was ready. But I didn't do it very nicely sometimes. Oh, God have mercy on those people. I've told you, I used to chase people down the road, waving, trying to preach the gospel to them as they ran away from me. Horrible. Be prepared. Are you prepared? Have you prepared your heart? Have you hidden away in the secret place? Have you prayed? Have you spent your time? Have you gotten in the Word? And then are you ready to share with somebody? Are you ready to have that life come out of you? Are you ready with your testimony? Are you ready with a faith story to give to somebody that can where they can grab onto a seed and get it planted in their heart? A mature Christian reproduces. You're going to love the next one. A mature Christian is potty trained. A mature person is potty trained. Okay, what are you talking about, Pastor Dave? You know, a mature person has learned to clean up after themselves. You know, in the church, we really, really need potty trained believers. And I'm not accusing anybody in this church of not being potty trained. Please, but Christians in the church who know what to do with the doo-doo. In the church, we need to know what to do with the doo-doo. And guess what? If you're around people for very long, like it or not, there's gonna be some doo-doo. It happens. James 3:2, for in many things we offend all. I offend people. I don't mean to, but sometimes I offend people. Sometimes I offend my wife. Sometimes I've offended some of you. Sometimes you offend me. You know, if you're in close quarters with people, it's going to happen. eventually, you're going to do something, or someone else is going to do something. It's going to happen. And a mature believer knows what to do with the doo-doo. And Matthew 18:15-17, if your brother sins against you, go and confront him privately. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Here's a great lesson in church discipline. I wish to God that Christians in churches, I hear so many stories, if they would just walk in this one principle. If somebody offends you, go to them. Don't go to your neighbor. Don't go to your pastor. Go to them and share. Talk it out. And then if they won't help you, then you can take somebody else. But deal with it in the right way first. I worked in a school district. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. If you don't do that, if you don't go to them, then there's two other options. Number one, you take that dirty diaper and smear it all over the place. I worked in a school district where people, when they got upset, something happened, a teacher got upset, and they didn't like what the administration did, they wouldn't go and talk to the administration. They would go to their computer. They would bring up their email and type in a flaming email and send it out to the whole district. And that happened over and over. So all of a sudden now you got people who never heard of that, never had any idea that any of that was going on, and they're taking up an offense that had nothing to do with them for people that never offended them. So what they did was they effectively did a great job. They were an evangelist for the devil. They spreaded that wonderful discord. One of the things that the scripture says that God hates, one of the seven things, Proverbs 6:19, one who stirs up discord among brothers. God hates that. If you don't take care of it in the right way, it's going to happen in the wrong way, and one of them is going to be taking your messy diaper and smearing it all over the place. Number two, just say nothing. Don't confront them. Just, okay, I'm just going to keep it to myself. Guess what? It doesn't work that way. That's not what the scripture says. Oh, Luke 6:45. The good man from good things out of the good treasure in his heart. Oh, the good man brings good things out of the good treasure of his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil treasure of his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you don't deal with it, eventually it's going to come out of you. Eventually, it's going to come out of you. It is super important to deal with it the right way. Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up to cause trouble and defile many. You become bitter, and you have the potential to defile all kinds of people. Deal with it, and it's done. Don't deal with it the right way, and then there's fallout here, fallout there. People get hurt. People get offended. Churches have split up over this very principle that somebody just didn't deal with the doo-doo in the right way. A mature believer knows how to clean up after themselves. A mature person can be corrected. That is a tough one. Do you enjoy being corrected? I was in church once a long time ago, and I was playing with the worship team on the piano, and we had a drummer that just was not keeping time. Kept speeding up, going faster. And finally I went to him, it was driving me crazy. I'm playing, and he's just getting ahead, and the songs are going faster. I said, you know, you and I, we need to work together on our tempos. We're not staying together. And I think you're speeding up, and maybe we could work. What I wanted to do was bring a resolution. Let's get this fixed. And he said, oh, well, maybe I guess you don't want me to play anymore. And I said, no, I want you to play. I want you to be part of this. I guess I just can't do it. I said, what I wanted to say with him to him was, take a big boy pill, please. Can we just work on this together? But he couldn't hear the correction. Eventually he sort of did, but, you know, I have people in the church, I have had people in the church, very faithful people who come and correct me at times. And what I try to do is I try to make sure I thank them. Thank you. So most of the time people do it very politely. Just say, you know, I think this or that, or maybe you should have. And I've gotten some very good input. It's a little humbling, but it's good. And sometimes people bring criticism and it's not very nice. I've learned that even when it doesn't come in a nice way, stop and listen, because even in the harshest criticism, sometimes there can be some truth in there that you need to hear. They may not have done it nicely, but it's important to hear. So I say, thank you. Thank you for that. And a mature person, well, and I like to think most of the time I do, where I don't always receive it well is from my wife. Sometimes my wife will correct me and I'll get a little, and I think, okay, put on the big boy pants. Come on, Dave. Grow up. Be willing to hear. I hope I put this one up. I think maybe I didn't. No, I didn't. James 3:17 says, be willing to yield. Be willing to yield in your own heart and spirit. Be flexible. Be able to have somebody come and bring a word of correction if you need it. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son he receives. Ouch. Notice it says every. Ow. You know what that means? It's probably going to hurt a little bit. You're going to get chastised. Anybody ever get a spanking when you were a kid? Endure suffering as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And God may discipline you, a circumstance may discipline you, or God may send someone to discipline you or correct you. Be willing to receive and hear it. You ever try to discipline a toddler? My little granddaughter, when she was 2, we had a brand new countertop put in our kitchen, and she had a little plastic saw, and she wanted to saw on my brand new countertop. And I said, oh, honey, let's not do that, okay? Don't. Where? Mommy, I want to saw. Fit. Throw a fit. Because you were told no. But I've seen adults do that too. Just in a more sophisticated way. Wah, I didn't get what I wanted. Be people who can have a heart to be open and be corrected. Number 5. Let's move on. A mature person is discerning. Hebrews 5:13-14. For everyone who lives on milk is still an infant, inexperienced in the message of righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained their senses to distinguish good from evil. You know, we live in a day where I am just amazed at what I see some Christians running after. And people will come to me and they'll say, hey, I've been listening to so-and-so. And they say, such, and I'm listening to them thinking, what are you saying? He says that he's really open to homosexual marriage, and you know, we should be open. And I'm like, have you read the book of Romans? Do you understand what you're saying? Are you discerning? I'm just pulling that out. But I was part of a church once a while ago, not here, and it was a full gospel church. But as I was there, I discovered that suddenly they were open. They were very open to everything. And they got into some excesses that were crazy. We were in a meeting one night where one guy said, oh yeah, I heard about so-and-so, and he was translated over to another country. And he said, since I heard that and I prayed about it, I've been translating too. And I've been going, and I'm listening, and it just, from there, it got, woo, really weird. And people were sitting in the meeting like, wow, really, that's cool. And I'm thinking, discernment, please. Does this bear witness to your heart and your spirit? Don't just swallow the hook because it's got a tasty worm on it. Oh, people, it seems like people are willing to swallow almost anything. I was talking to somebody some time ago, and they were all upset because they had heard this preacher online or something that they got, but they greatly respected, and he said something about the Word of God not being applicable today. And she's like, does that mean that the Word's not applicable? I said, okay, let's talk about what's in the Word here. Let's talk about what the Word says. Every word of God is pure. The Word of God is sharp and powerful. It's good for for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. I said, does that sound like it's not applicable for today? And she goes, it's applicable. I said, yep. I said, you're okay. Take a deep breath. Keep going. It's okay. But what did I do? I just helped her discern the truth. That we will no longer be infants tossed about by the waves and carried about by every wind of teaching and by the clever cunning of men in their deceitful schemings. There's all kinds of things out there today. All kinds of stuff. Now the Spirit expressly states that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons. Sometimes I've heard teaching, and they'll allude to the Word of God, and then they'll talk from their experience and this and that, and suddenly they're way out in left field. And I think, you know, if I just read the Scriptures, I would never get that. There's a sense of logical thinking that expands things into things that God never intended. Stick with the Word of God, and it'll bear witness to the truth. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. You won't go wrong if you stay in the Word and you stay in the secret place and you pray. You will be a discerning person. The Spirit of God will bear witness to you. And if you wonder about something, come talk to somebody about it. Talk to me, talk to Tom, talk to a brother or sister in Christ. In the multitude of counselors, Proverbs says there's safety. It's a good thing. So, a mature person can feed themselves. A mature person reproduces. A mature person knows what to do with the doo-doo. A mature person can be corrected. And a mature person is discerning. Father, we thank you that you want us to grow up, Lord. I heard that in my own heart yesterday, Lord, and there's still areas where I need to grow up. And Father, the principles of growing are just so simple. We need to eat and stay in your presence. We need to grow in the Word of God, and we need to be a people of prayer who seek your face and stay plugged into the vine. People whose hearts are open, not easily offended, who can be corrected. Oh, Jesus, who can be discerning and who have your life within us that we can share with other people, Lord. Thank you that it's not your goal for the church to be a sterile environment. You want it to be thriving and growing and reproducing. Help us, Father. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, we all have areas where we need to grow up. Give us your grace, Father, to walk in greater measure and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you need prayer, this is one of my favorite times because we see God move. Oh, you got to come next week. We got a testimony, and I don't want to give it away. Somebody we prayed for. And God did a miracle, but they're not here today, and I'm not going to tell it. I'm going to let them share. But if you're here today and you need God to move in your body, your heart, or your spirit, we believe we're a full gospel church. We believe in healing and deliverance. So if you would like prayer, please come now. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great week and grow in grace in Jesus' name. Thank you.